I'm talking with Ben Powell, and Ben is the Extension Apiculture and Pollinator Specialist. And we're Ben, with all the things we hear about the problems that bees and pollinators have, we're so glad that there's somebody who's specifically designated to help get the information out of what we as citizens can do to do our part. And you said there's a plant that you particularly enjoy that people often don't think of as being important in that pollinating feeding world.
Yes. You know, it's funny, Amanda, we've been doing these Zoom meetings, these online meetings, and our team of horticulture agents has met regularly. And one of the questions the team posed to everybody was, what's your favorite plant? And I piped up and said, the hollies. And there was a kind of a round of chuckles that went through the crowd. Well, yeah, everybody's like, that's, you know, it's just a foundation plant. What's special about hollies? But they are actually some of my favorites.
Well, and I guess we feel that way because hollies aren't known for great big beautiful flowers.
Right. But they're very important flowers.
And hollies have male flowers and female flowers. And so let's talk about why those kind of small flowers are important and what's important about the male flower and what's important about the female flower.
Sure. So hollies are a very diverse group of plants. There's like 500 species worldwide. And I think North America has about half of those.
Woo.
So we actually, you know, get to see what they can do on a regular basis. And the good news is we have a lot of options for landscaping as well. The holly flower is not a very big showy flower for us, but if you were a bee, it's the best thing ever.
Come on.
Highly nutritious, has a lot of nectar volume to it, as well as pollen. And when holly trees are in bloom, you will see just about every kind of pollinator in your area work in those trees.
Well, and I guess one thing we need to keep in mind is that pollinators come in lots of different sizes. Does that have anything to do with the different hollies have different size blooms, possibly, even though they're all relatively small? And what are some of the insects that do go to hollies? Like, does a European honeybee go?
Sure. So, you know, flowering plants co-evolved with pollinators over millions of years. And so there are many highly specialized flowers out there, long tubular flowers for hummingbirds, big, broad clusters of flowers like sunflowers for bees. Mm-hmm. And in the holly's case, they decided to have a very general flower that was of average size, uh-huh, but was full of nectar.
Really?
Right. And so they have a tendency, since they're just kind of average, to attract a whole variety of different pollinators, whereas other plants are very specialized in what pollinators they attract.
My goodness. So if you're somebody who likes to look at pollinators and or photograph them, a holly is going to be, is like having a whole lot of channels on your cable almost.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I was just looking at some East Palatka hollies that I just planted last fall. And they're only about 8 feet tall right now. They are so full of blooms that it was so much activity with bees and flies and butterflies and so many different insects that, you know, my kids were like, can I even go out there, Dad? It's a whole lot of stuff flying around over there. It's like, man, they're foraging. They're not going to hurt you right now.
Yeah, they're much more interested in getting something to eat. Why is both pollen and nectar important? What is it used?
Sure. So honeybees are relatively unique in that they collect and store nectar, which is the carbohydrate, the sugar source. And so hollies are good for that. And so you will definitely find honeybees working that. But most of our native pollinators, uh-huh, the solitary pollinators, what they're really most focused on is the pollen. Because the pollen is the protein source.
Uh-huh.
So bumblebees, a lot of our ground nesting bees, a variety of beetles, they actually go to the flowers to collect pollen as well. So having a plant that produces large volumes of nectar and pollen, you know, means they attract a lot of different kinds of pollinators.
So even though we might selectively pick a holly that is a female so we can get the red berries. That's not, if we're really interested in having a lot of different pollinators, that doesn't have to be a high on our list. Maybe we should not worry about that so much.
Sure, you can mix and match males and females, especially if you're doing it for like a hedgerow or, you know, foundation plantings, where you're not so much concerned about the particular attribute of the berry.
Okay. You mentioned the East Palatka, and I guess that's going to be one of the tree form hollies that can just be beautiful. And I think the trunk sometimes real pretty. And But what are some of the, they're not limited to tree form, are they? What are some of the others that you particularly like?
Well, actually, the Native American holly is one of my favorites. And in fact, it's a tree form as well. And the East Palatka, I think, is just a variety, a localized race of the American holly. The American hollies are very prolific berry producers. They're adapted to a variety of different conditions. They pretty much can live anywhere in South Carolina and in most yards, from the mountains all the way to the coast. And actually, for folks that are interested in protecting pollinators, they need to think about vertical planting. And what I mean by that is most of us don't have huge yards. We don't have a 1,000-acre forest to manage or a 100-acre farm field. We've got a tenth or a half an acre in our backyard, and we're looking for things that help pollinators and insects, but we don't have a lot of room. Mm-hmm. Well, things like an American holly give you vertical growth with lots of blossoms, so that you don't take up a lot of space like you would with like a wildflower meadow.
Okay, right. Very good.
Because honeybees, they have to visit 2 million blossoms to produce 1 pound of honey.
Whoa.
So that's a lot of flowers.
That is. The holly has very nectar-rich flowers.
Yes.
So that's pretty interesting. Yeah.
And if you can grow a tall plant that has lots of flowers on it, you don't take up so much space, then you've done a really good thing for honeybees and pollinators.
Well, now we have some deciduous hollies, and they sometimes have a feature in that their berries are more prominently displayed in the winter. I guess they would be just as good for the pollinators, wouldn't they?
Oh, they sure are. They bloom just as prolifically. One that comes to mind is the winterberry.
Uh-huh.
It's a beautiful kind of mid-story shrub. It likes field edge habitats where it gets a little bit of sun, a little bit of shade. But when it gets the right habitat, it can be just loaded with large, bright red berries right in the middle of the wintertime when everything else is just dull and drab.
Ben, I got to go on a nature weekend once and down towards the coast, and there were these kind of inconsequential looking hollies, Ilex glabra or inkberry holly, or apparently sometimes even gallberry holly. And the flowers, I could barely see them, but I went up and watched them for a while, and they were super, super busy with pollinators. And I understand that the gallberry honey is even considered kind of a real special kind. So, but the inkberry was so loose, but I've heard that they've been doing some work to try to get it more compact so that we could maybe use it as a foundation plant instead of boxwoods.
Right. So for the folks that live in the low country, you can go into some of the old forested habitats, especially where they do controlled burning, and the understory can be a large blanket of these little low growing hollies. It's a very unique holly because it actually has a black berry. And this is the gallberry or inkberry holly that we're referred to. And it largely is overlooked because it's not really a very showy, flashy plant. But for a pollinator, having a huge field of flowers that are intense nectar producers for a very short period of time is just, it's heaven. So you can go into some of these managed forests in the coast plain and find these plants and just find every pollinator you can imagine working them. The problem is it's not really one we think of using in a landscape scenario, because like you said, it's loose. It doesn't have a whole lot of foliage compared to the amount of stem. It's got blackberries instead of the red berries.
Yeah.
But there's been some work.
You've
tuned me into this a little bit. And I think you can find some that are much more attractive for foundation plantings and might even be able to replace things like boxwoods.
Wow, that'd be good, because boxwood's not much used to our pollinators, and this would be. And with the boxwood blight, we would be removing that worry from our yard.
Sure. And at least you get a berry out of this one too. A little more, you know, interest.
Yeah. And I bet by the end, I think holly berries aren't super attractive to birds, but at the end of the season don't you think at the end of the season when they're really hungry, they say, oh heck, I'm just going to go ahead and eat my spinach like I'm supposed to.
Right. Yeah. And in fact, I think there are a few birds that do kind of specialize on them. Things like cedar waxwings. I believe they are attracted to holly berries. And so I think, you know, having that extra food source is definitely going to attract some desirable wildlife.
Well, I think that's fun. And I'll end by telling you a story that perhaps you'll find interesting. My mother grew up in Old Ellington, where the bomb plant is now, Battle Rib site. And back then, they didn't get cedar trees for Christmas. They would go out and get a female Native American holly. Because they wanted to bring those beautiful berries in and have that as part of the decorations.
Sure. Well, and the great news is with hollies, there's been so much interest over such a long time. We have so many cultivars that we can use. Burford hollies and Foster hollies and hybrids and crosses that give us all these different shapes and sizes and features. There's pretty much a holly for just about every purpose.